Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We're in a series right now called Imagine That, talking about the power of a transformed mind. And I've been using this illustration for different things, but I want to get to how to deal with our mind. I don't know whether you realize this or not. Let's go to I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 first. This morning. And I'm going to start in verse number 4. I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for everything you've already done. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, your word transforms the way we think. All of this happens by the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just yield myself to him. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak through me. Say what you want to say. I thank you for utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. And I thank you, Lord, that you're making my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that you're writing on the hearts of the people and the minds of the people what it is you want them to know this morning. Lord, we know that your desire is that we be set free completely, that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so in that, Lord, today, I thank you that through your word and the anointing that is upon your word, that you will set people free here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're talking about the power of a transformed mind. We're talking about the title of the message is Imagine That, the power of a transformed mind. And the mind has a lot to do with our Christian life. The mind is actually one of the two parts that didn't change in your life when you got saved. When you were born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you became a new creature. That happened in the spirit. So after you were saved, your mind didn't change and your body didn't change. As disappointing as at times that is, it did not, okay? The reality is that it's not that they're not redeemed, it's just that the redemption of them has not come fully to pass yet. When Jesus returns, the Bible says that those who were dead in Christ shall rise. So in other words, their bodies are going to come up out of the grave. Does that make sense? And meet him in the air. They'll have a glorified body or a body just like Jesus. That's going to be good. Because Jesus' body is no longer tainted with death. And death, essentially, you could just put it in one category, sin. The wages of sin is death, always, okay? So sin always produces death. That's what the devil wants to do. You know, the Bible says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And anything in a person's life that steals, kills, or destroys is something that's of the enemy, okay? Well, in the process of the Christian walk that we have from the time that you're born again to the time that you get to heaven, you're not just supposed to hang on, so to speak, for dear life. Okay, there's a lot of different teachings and churches have different teachings about different things. You know, a lot of times Christians, church's response to problems and different things is just very simply, well, one day we'll be in heaven. Well, that's not enough. I don't want to wait to, I mean, if that was the truth and that was in the Bible, okay, I'd be great with that. But it's not. Paul said we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Paul didn't say whatever happens, happens. He said, well, actually, Peter and James said, resist the devil. Understand who your enemy is. Stand against him. That sounds like a fight. It doesn't sound like a sit back and just let the devil do whatever he wants to do. The devil is not allowed to do whatever he wants to do if you don't let him. Now, he is in the earth. But if God told you to resist him, what does that mean? You must have something against him. Otherwise, why even bother telling you to resist him? Is God like just kind of sadistic and like, look at him trying to resist the devil and they can't do anything. I won't help him. That's not God. Jesus, and Mike just read it in Romans 8:32, but Jesus came. He gave his own son to show you straight off, I gave you my son, you can have anything else. In other words, I'm not withholding anything else from you. I gave you my best straight off. Okay? God's pretty amazing. You've seen the universe. You've seen pictures of the universe. You've seen the sky. You've seen the earth. You've seen all these things. He made all these things. He could have done what to get our attention and redeem us? He could have gave you money. The Bible says, the Bible says that heaven has streets of gold. He could just pluck up pavement and send it to earth and go put little notes on the gold, you know, and drop it to heaven, or drop it from heaven and make it land somewhere in front of you. And you could pick it up and it could say, I'm God. This is gold. You want to serve me? This is how good I am. But he didn't do that. He went a step higher. How many here would pay anything to save your kid? What did God do? He gave his kid. Gave his son. I mean, that's just a huge thought, okay? And it baffles the brain a little bit, but your heart goes, yeah, that's right. And so we're in that place where Jesus has done so much for us and provided for us so we can resist the enemy. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is really the bulk of spiritual warfare. You know, different people have different backgrounds. Some people have never heard about spiritual warfare. Some people have been in churches where people dressed up in camouflage and flew in helicopters and tried to fight the devil in the air. Okay, I've been around the church for a long time, so some people have been raised in a church where they throw water on people to try and get the devil to come out, you know, or wave a cross at them. You know what I mean? Or wear garlic. Oh, no, that's vampires. Vampires is garlic. Sorry. That wasn't a religious experience. That was a movie. But people come from all different kind of backgrounds. But what we need to do is go back to the Word. What does the Word of God say? Now, if you think I'm just making fun of some of those other things, in a sense, I kind of am. Because they don't work, so I want them light in your mind. Does that make sense? I don't want them to be above what the Bible says. The bulk of the spiritual warfare, the majority, the almost 100% of the spiritual warfare that most people will experience is in your mind. Okay? Most people in this room are not going to physically see angels or demons. Or the Holy Spirit, or God, or Jesus. You won't. Most of you won't. You know, I went to Bible college at Raymond. Brother Hagin had the Lord appear to him, I think, what, 7 or 8 times? I don't remember. Anyway, in a vision, okay? And the last time that the Lord appeared to him, he said, I'll never appear to you like this again. But one thing that I went away from school with is you'd get these people that went to school that were like, I'm going to try and see Jesus. Don't. The devil appears as an angel of light. Whole false doctrines have come out of visions. Okay? Don't follow those things. Don't seek those things. Seek God. Seek God. Seek His Word. And let those things be what they are. If God decides to show up and talk to you, well, I'll put it to you like this. This is how strict Brother Hagin was on it. He had a vision of the Lord, and the Lord was telling him about some spiritual warfare things. And he said to me, Lord, I've never heard it that way. Because he was raised in a particular denomination. And the Lord said to him, and Brother Hagin said to the Lord, he said, now he's seeing Jesus. You got to put yourself in this place, because would you do this? He's seeing Jesus. Most people would be so emotionally overwhelmed by the experience, they wouldn't care what they heard, they'd just take it and go. Brother Hagin looked up at the Lord and said, Lord, I love you. I love your word. But unless you can give me 2 or 3 scriptures in the New Testament on what you're telling me, I'm not going to believe this vision. You could have told Jesus that. That was the smartest thing he could have done. Because the Lord said that this word was higher than any experience you would ever have. Now think about this. Now the Lord, you said he would say this, Brother Hagin said this to you. You'd think the Lord would have gotten upset, but he smiled so sweetly and he said, I'll do you one better, I'll give you 4. And then he has a teaching that he goes into, which I'm not going to go into. If you want to read about it, go buy the book I Believe in Visions by Kenneth E. Hagin. You can find it there. I'm not saying those things are not real. What I'm saying is most people are not going to see a red man with a man show up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. and go, and you're going to look at him and go, you're the devil. I know not to listen to you. No. No. That's trick-or-treat Halloween stuff. Most of the spiritual warfare that you will go through, and we talked about this before in the sources of thoughts, will just come as a thought to your mind. This word is the filter that you're to run all thoughts through. Okay? Now let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. It says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." Where is an... Well, let's just do... We'll finish reading, then I'll comment. "Mighty in God to the pulling down of... casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against" what? "The knowledge of God, bringing every" what? "Thought into captivity." Bringing every what into captivity? Thought. How do I bring a thought into captivity? For one, you need to know the source of the thought. Okay, let me put it to you like this. And we'll go back over this again, but just briefly, I'll put it to you like this. Anything that comes to you that is a thought of stealing, killing, or destroying is a thought from the enemy. Okay? Now, you don't have to be doing anything to make that happen. The devil's in the earth. He's got a system set up to try and destroy you. Okay? He's got demons. He's got all that stuff. So, when thoughts come to you, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 6, I believe it is, but it talks about taking up the shield of faith that you may quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So, these are my fiery darts. They don't have any fire on them, but... So, what happens is, you'll be in a tough situation, and this is spiritual warfare right here, okay? Now, don't, stay with me, okay? People are like, it can't be this simple. It is this simple. What happens is, you'll be in the middle of a situation. Make a decision about business. Having issues in your marriage, wondering what to do with your future, and a thought will come to you. Did that hurt anybody when I did that? You're like, identify so much with the... This is not voodoo, okay? And this is what will happen. People will go, your friend will ask you, you know that thing you're dealing with? How's that going? And the enemy will come, confusion, darkness. What is this? This is a fiery dart. Now, look at verse number 4 again. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And listen to this, "and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." In other words, you are going to have the enemy bring thoughts to you, experiences to you. Different things will come to your mind and they will try and lodge themselves in your imagination. But you're supposed to cast the thought down. Well, how do I cast a thought down? I'm glad you asked. Okay, go over to Matthew. Nope, sorry. Oops. Go to, we're going to look at how Jesus did this. Luke 4. We're going to go kind of bounce back and forth here, okay? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 4, verse number 1. Brother Hagin used to say this to us. And I always, he had like these, you know, because he's from Texas, he had these, like, southern sayings. Like, a service would be going on and people wouldn't be understanding what was going on. And he would say, "Don't look at me like a toad in a West Texas hailstorm." What? What? That makes no sense. I'm from Montana, not Texas. Or, now I did understand this one. He'd be teaching something and you could tell people are going, "Huh?" And he'd go, "Don't look at me like a cow at a new gate." I understood that one. You know what I mean? Because people do this. They're like, "Oh, I've never heard that before." What does that mean? You, a human, have never heard something that God knew from all time and eternity before. Shocker. I mean, that's just the most unheard of thing I've ever heard of. You know what I mean? So the other thing he would say to us was, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Now, that is that right there. You say, what do you mean? Do birds fly over your head? Daily. But do they have to build a nest in your hair? No. In other words, you cannot stop the thoughts of the enemy from coming, but you can keep them from staying and producing babies. Because why do birds build nests? So they can lay eggs. I'm adding to the saying. Thank you, Lord. You can't, okay? You don't want them there. So how do you get rid of them? The answer is with your words. Okay? Luke chapter 4. This is the best example that we have of spiritual warfare in regards to your day-to-day life. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when it was over, he was hungry. I'd imagine so. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." What just happened? Stop right there. What just happened? Is Jesus seeing the devil? You know, I've had people over-spiritualize this scripture. Whether he did or not, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The thought came to him, "You're not the Son of God." Confusion. Darkness. Something that is contrary to what God had told Jesus. Now let's look at Jesus' response, okay? So, it says this in verse 4, "But Jesus answered him." If you ever want to study something interesting, look at the phrase, "Jesus answered." Go through and mark it. Every time it says, "Jesus answered." Do you know that Jesus answered a fig tree? What? Yeah, Jesus talked to trees. Because the fig tree had leaves on it, which means it should have had fruit. And it didn't have fruit, so Jesus answered the fig tree. Why? I bet the disciples were like, "Huh? Jesus hears plants talk." Now, today in our culture, people are like, "Oh yeah, whatever you want to believe, man." You know? It's weird stuff. Jesus was not answering just necessarily a physical devil. He's answering a thought that's come to his mind. What is he answering the thought with? The word of the Lord. What do you answer the thoughts that come to your mind with? The word of the Lord. Come on now. It is that simple. You don't even have to know Greek or Hebrew. At all. You know, Jesus wasn't like, "Hold on, let me get my Strong's Concordance, devil." No. He just said, "No. No, that's not my thought. That's not me. That's not my identity. My identity is this, devil. It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Remember, Paul said this in Romans 12. He said, "Be not conformed, be transformed." The world, the enemy, the puppets in the world, those that yield to Satan, those who build satanic TV shows, those who build... See, people think satanic. What does that mean? Like there's gargoyles and vampires and... No. It's simple little things. It's in cartoons. It's lies. It's twisted things. 4 billion years ago when the planet was formed. When I walk by the TV and my kids are watching a cartoon, and they'll tell you this, and something is said that is not in line with the scripture, I go, that's a lie. And I just say it out loud. I interrupt the whole thing. I do. I just completely interrupt it. Why? Because it's a lie. 4 billion years ago. Give me a break. How slow do you think God is? You almost done, God, with creating the planet? I thought you were the all-powerful one. He's not that slow. Science, that's not science. That's a belief. That's just a belief. It's all. There's no proof. There's no proof for it. We got absolute proof for this. Well, we'll talk about it in God of Wonders, so I won't go into that. Verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, the devil didn't give up, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and the glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Is that true? The answer is partially. Because Adam had control of the planet and he sold out to the devil. Okay? Now you're in this world and you're not of this world, so you have authority over him. What he's after here, and we'll look at it here, he said, I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, this is what he's after. If you will worship before me, all will be yours. Do you know how many people that have authority in this earth worship before Satan, whether they realize it or not? Oh, yeah. Come on. The devil's not going to promote you, the righteous one. You're going to get on TV and tell people righteousness. The devil promotes lies. That's why you need to know the truth. And it says this, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So what's happening? Darkness thoughts are coming to him. What is Jesus responding with? Scriptures. So what do the scriptures do? They dislodge the confusion. Does that make sense? Now listen to me. You're all going to feel thoughts when they come. Now, let me explain what I mean about that. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, okay? So when thoughts come to you, they carry with them. You're built in such a way that your emotion and who you are inside respond to what comes to you. Does that make sense? I can see it inside me. Putting into words sometimes can be difficult. But I'll put it to you like this. How many have ever had a terrible situation that happened to you like 20 years ago? And how many have sat and thought about that, and it's like you're right there. You feel the pain. You feel the... Come on. Why is that? You're designed that way. That is not like... That's not wrong. It's just what you put in the soul. That is the important thing. You know, the enemy will bring you a thought and then condemn you about the thought that you... I can't believe you thought that. You ought to speak up and go, shut up, devil. That's your thought. That ain't me. Fool. Yeah, call him names. Go ahead. This is the only time your parents will let you call somebody a name, okay? So, call him names. Loser. Loser. Just read him the back of the book. Next time a thought comes to you, just read him the back of the book. Yeah, see, there in Revelation here, devil, there's an angel coming with a chain. And he'll just leave. Be like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't know. And look at, yeah, I got to finish this up. Are you seeing how to do this? So, okay, let me put it to you like this. If a thought comes to you, oh, yeah, I like this one. You're afraid of that person. You've got anger and rage issues. You should replace anger and rage with the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you should let Jesus' birds land in your hair all day long. Build nests, have colonies. You know, people, you should just, you know, People, if they could see what's on your head, they just, you've got a bird house. Yeah, but they're all Jesus birds. It's all right. You know what I mean? Thoughts of love, peace, joy, blessing, favor, healing, prosperity. Come on, think about it. God's thoughts to you, holiness, righteousness, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against me, come on, I love this verse, it will be condemned. I love that. Because there are voices coming against you, whether you realize it or not. The news media is against you. People say, well, they're just reporting the news. No, they're reporting the news and putting their demonic spin on it. Do you ever notice on the news, they never talk about people getting out of wheelchairs, being healed? They never talk about, they hardly ever tell good things. I got a former teacher of mine from Rhema, has a church in Colorado Springs. They every year give backpacks and school supplies to like 600 kids in that area. And you know what the news reported on? That they were parking illegally around their property. Why? Because the news media is full of the devil. You know what I mean? Out of all the good things this church is doing, parking tickets. It's despicable what the church is doing. Parking in a yellow zone. Who cares? You know what I mean? You want to replace the world's thoughts with God's thoughts. Now look at this. This is really good. It says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. You know, the devil will quote, misquote and quote scripture to you. He'll try and pervert it. And it says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Everybody knows where that is, Psalms 91. Verse 12 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I'll leave you with this thought, okay? I mean, there are, well, I'll do it this way. Fear of man. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Darkness. I'm not a child of darkness. I've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Come on, now you can't carry me in your back pocket. You got to know the Word for yourself. You got to get a fight in you about it. Do you see what I'm saying? There's got to be something that rises up inside of you called the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because you've been reading it, you've been taking it in, and you need to stand in front of the devil and go, you know, draw a line in the sand and go, come on, devil. Now, see, most churches won't teach you that. They'll teach you, pray God that makes the devil go away. The devil ain't going away unless you whoop him. That's Southern, you know what I mean? Whoop. You've got to take the sword of the Spirit. You've got to take the shield of faith. You've got to stand up in the middle of your situation and declare the words of God over it. You're not trying to make it happen. You're declaring what's already happened, and it gives the Lord an open door to just move right into your life. Because all these things are going to come to you. Fear, bondage, depression. What's this one? Drunkenness. I mean, these desires of the flesh, we talked about these. Lusts will happen. The devil will say, I'm going to make you so broke you'll never amount to anything. Jealousy will happen. Hopelessness. Oh, genes. It's in your genes. Change your genes. Buy a different brand. On the other hand, what does the Lord tell you? You got joy. You got patience. Come on. You got light, healing, faith, kindness. You're a servant. You're a servant. I don't want to be a servant. You want to be a servant, but God tells you you're a servant. Amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you see what that is? Jesus constantly said back to the enemy, no, it's not that way, it's this way. And you've got to talk back to the devil. Now, I'm not telling you have to do it like, you know, You don't have to do it out loud in a public place, but you should do it under your breath. You know what I mean? I'll give you this last example and then we'll quit. I preached two of my notes. That's all right. You got the point. That's the point. Do you understand spiritual warfare? This is a major part of it. So when the thought comes to you, you messed up so bad, there's no hope for you. You need to stand up in that moment and say, forgetting those things which are behind, come on. I press on toward the mark. God, you need to say, God loves me. And people say, oh, you don't know how bad you've been. You don't know how good God's been. You don't know how rough it is. You don't know how dark the sin is. You don't know how powerful the blood is. And that is what releases God into your situation. You take authority over those thoughts. And I'll finish with this story. Why don't you stand with me? I was listening to a minister one time, and I thought this was so good. And he was visiting a very large city. And I don't know if it was in New York or where it was. But anyway, there was a skyscraper there. And he was invited to go to the top where you could get on this kind of balcony thing and then look down. Okay? Some people already feel. That's all I said. And your feelings go, ugh, I don't want to do that. See, I told you your soul was connected to thoughts. Your emotions are connected to those things. So he looks out over the edge. Now listen to me. I don't want nobody be distracted right now. I want you to hear this. This is so true and so powerful. He was standing looking over the edge and he said the cars and everything just looked like dinky little ants. And this thought comes to him. Why don't you jump? Now this is a minister of the gospel. Let me just say something to you about ministers. We all have terrible thoughts come to us. We just don't yield to them. We speak to them. If you have a thought come to you and you go, where did that come from? No, it's the devil. It's not you. Don't possess identity of it. Reject it and say, no, that's not who I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody say, you just ugly. No, I'm beautiful. You ain't seen. I'm worth so much. God gave his son for me. You just tell that person, you're just confused. But you can have clarity of thought in Jesus. So this minister, this thought comes to him, why don't you jump? He turned, nobody's there, and he said, why don't you jump? I'm not. That's exactly what you need to do. That's it right there. That is spiritual warfare. Well, you're never going to make it. No, I always overcome, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. You know, most people would have heard, you know, the way some Christians have been taught. Now, people in the world understand, but the way some Christians have been taught, they'd be like, why am I thinking that? Because the devil gave you a thought. Some people are like, I must be suicidal. No, you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're satisfied in him. You are in love with life, Jesus. It's not you. That's the thing. The devil will give you a thought and then try and convince you it's you. You need to convince him it's him and send him on his way. You're never going to make it. I always overcome in Christ Jesus. How are you ever going to get out of this? Well, Jesus is my breakthrough. He's already accomplished it. When I pray, he hears my prayers. The Bible says he hears and he answers. Read 1 John, read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He always hears me and he always answers. Well, how are you going to get yourself out of it? I don't have to figure it out. The Lord is going to get me out. I'm just going to cooperate with him and say what he said. Amen? Just say what he said. I mean, all week, this week, get you a scripture. How many, I don't know about you, but the devil will pick on me in an area. So then I'll get a scripture for that area. And I'll just carry it around. You know, load the 9mm with the same bullet 9 times. He comes to me and says, "You're a failure." And I'll say, "No, I always triumph in Christ." Boom! I shoot at his feet first. Give him a warning shot. Come on. You got to drive him off. You got to drive. Well, you're never going to see what God promised you. Oh, no. I'm going to see it come all the way to pass. Well, you know what you've done wrong. I know, but look at what Jesus has done right. You know what I mean? I'll make it. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your people. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, that you bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus has said to us. These words that we heard today are Jesus' words. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to bring that back to them. And as they go through their week, they're going to use the promises of God as the weapon, the sword of the Spirit. They're going to follow your example, Lord. Just like Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness, we will defeat Satan in our day-to-day wilderness, things that are going on around us. And we'll use the Scripture and talk the Scripture and speak the Scripture. And we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus and in His Word. And we go forth in the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.